Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, the ha-di-di-ha-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Twitch Plays Pokemon was 5 years ago.
I saw that.
I would like to die.
And I don't, well, we're inching closer to it, as that reminded
I don't all of quite us. Believe it. It feels like yesterday.
It sure does.
It feels like yesterday when I stayed up very, very, very late and watched it.
I guess that's why the teens didn't laugh at my Praise Helix reference.
Because no. They were babies.
Yeah.
They were infants.
My mom caught sight of a meme that had was it Pidgeotto, like had Bird Jesus on there with like a helix necklace, and he was like, "What is that?" And I just kind of looked at her and was like, "I can't. There's so many things you need to know, like, to understand this image, and I just don't think I can walk you through all of them."
All right, let me explain.
Just
Twitch.
Understand that it's important.
Okay, now let me explain Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
she knows.
Okay, now let me explain the internet's.
I mean, like, my mom knows what Pokemon is, like, generally speaking, but like, I just stared at her for like 5-10 seconds. I was like, oh man, like, she knows Pokemon. It was like, she doesn't know what Twitch is. She definitely isn't gonna know like how this is played. And then you have to get into like, why is this Bird Jesus? Who's Helix? It's just like, it's just not worth it. It's still maybe the best thing the internet has produced.
That's true. It was a beautiful moment of everyone working together and working against each other at the same time to create art.
It was a perfect storm of just emergent narrative.
Sure.
It really was. There is actually, I think, fascinating lore behind Twitch Plays Pokemon, and 100% of it is emergent.
And it all is just a metaphor for the human condition.
It's one of my favorite things that humanity is capable of, is like
playing Pokemon with 10,000 people at once.
Well, like, they're still doing it.
That many people coming together and then building a story out of nothing.
Sure.
And a lot of them just went there to destroy it also.
And like, and it's their own culture.
Yeah.
Like, they made a culture with rules and a religion and enemies and factions. Like, it was a microcosm of the whole human experience in a Pokemon game played on the internet. And it was 5 years ago and we're all old.
That was like, when I had it up at work and I was just not doing, like, I wasn't doing any work while it was going on. Like, I was just like glued to it. And people, like my team and other people in the office, would just kind of like stop by.
Man, was this Sherpa times?
That was Sherpa.
Oh.
That was Sherpa. And someone said that I had gone beyond the event horizon. of just kind of like internet nerd stuff.
I think compared to like the average office person, we have always been beyond the event horizon for weird nerd stuff.
Probably, but like, I don't know. It really was just a fascinating thing that
happened. Have there been sociology papers published on this? Like, I'd like to read a book that kind of analyzes the whole situation.
There's been enough time.
I know that they use like EVE Online to study economics and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I'd love to read like a PhD analysis on this whole thing.
EVE Online is like the best game that is just no fun to play.
Would you like a fake job in space that is a lot like your real job in not space?
It seems awesome, except it actually just like minute by minute sucks to play.
It's your real job in fake space that has the same consequences as your real job.
Yeah. Yes. But like, as a whole, EVE is fascinating.
Yeah, from an outside perspective, it's definitely an interesting phenomenon.
No, thank you. I do not want to mine. I don't want to sit up there and mine space rocks.
Yeah, I have no interest in ever playing it, but I like it conceptually. Speaking of Sherpa and work and offices.
Yeah.
I propose a revolution.
On what scale?
We have been under the heel of a tyrannous group for too long.
Mm-hmm. I like it so far.
And that group is mourning people.
Agreed.
The whole world runs on the schedule of mourning people, and there's no reason for it anymore. It made sense when everybody was farmers, and that's when cows needed cow stuff done to them. But your company's not a cow, and it can wait till 10.
I mean, it made sense when daylight was light.
Right, like, when you had none light to fall back on. Other than fire causes bigger fire and is a problem.
I can animate at 2 a.m. Right. I have done it.
Right. I've watched you do it because I've been up at 2 a.m. But like all the people in charge of things are morning people because the world has been run on their schedule. And all of the rest of us are too tired.
To fight.
Climb our way up the ladder, so yeah. We don't get to decide when the meetings are. We're talking about this on the Discords because Heather has an 8 a.m. meeting tomorrow.
No.
And there's no reason for it. And yeah, it's a bi-coastal meeting and they're different time zones, but you know when is also a good time? 2 p.m. for the other side of the coast and 11 a.m.
Don't have meetings.
That's meetings also a
should
viable...
only be after lunch.
So there's...
Don't. Here's the thing. I don't like meetings before lunch, and I also don't like them after lunch. Like, I've been asked, like, when is the best time of day for you, like, for a meeting? And, like, honestly, the answer is never. Like, in the morning, I don't like it because I'm still, like, getting... Like, I don't like to do anything until after lunch. Like, not really. Right. Like, I'll take care of some
little
stuff.
That's when you hit the ground running, for real.
Yeah, like, you're fully conscious.
Right, but then, like, it's after lunch. And I don't like to do anything right after lunch either. I like to give it until, like, 2, 2:30 before I really start thinking about it. Because, like, I just ate lunch. Like, give me a minute to have just eaten lunch, please.
That 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. couple hours,
it's just
I was
no
like
good.
Three times as productive as I was for the rest of the day.
And then after like the only 4:30 to 5, just forget it.
Yeah,
you're gonna go home soon. It doesn't matter.
And you don't want that
to
run
like 90
late.
Minutes a day where you can really actually do anything.
But like the only decent time for a meeting is a lunchtime meeting where free lunch is provided as part of it. And it's only decent because it's the free lunch bit. But yeah, there's no logical reason why everybody in the world has to get up at the same goddamn time, sit in the same damn traffic, and be at work at the same hour. And if you're groggy and tired because you naturally stay up till midnight to 2 and you had to roll out of bed at 6:30 or 7 to get out on time, it doesn't make sense. So if everyone can come in staggered at kind of the schedule that works for them.
Sure.
The 8-hour shift. If I could work an 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., that would be ideal. Because I don't get a lot of my own stuff done in the evening till like after 9 or so. That's when my own creative mojo really starts kicking in. Definitely don't go in like mentally until about 11.
I think I have a fantastic solution. I need help.
Yes.
Okay.
How do we identify these people?
The morning people?
Yeah.
They will identify themselves.
They're the ones who don't look dead at 9 a.m.
You can tell.
Well, we need to start tracking this, is what I mean.
Who's a morning person?
Like I need names and addresses.
Okay, for what purpose?
We're going to go into their homes.
Okay.
When we are awake and they are not, which is a crime. I'll point out. And we will take their mattresses and we will put them in a river or ocean.
Another crime.
Yeah.
Yes.
It seems like an extreme response.
And they will wake up in the morning unable to go do their morning stuff.
Yeah.
Giving us the time to catch up when we wake up.
Do you really just want to slow them down for a few hours? Is that it?
And if we do it over and over,
this seems fair.
Equilibrium will find itself.
This seems very inefficient. What if we just like blast sound at them until our typical fall asleep time, and then they're allowed to fall asleep, and then they still have to get up at the hours that they have deemed are good hours for people to work and be productive, and they will feel how tired we are all the time.
I would really like to do a crime. Can we paint all their windows so that it always looks like nighttime, like they're big old birds?
So they just are always asleep?
Yeah.
I mean,
we just entomb them night.
I like where all these ideas are going. I mean, I understand, like, yes, if you're a morning person and you want to work like 7 to something.
Do it.
That's fine.
That's your time.
But also if you want to roll in at lunchtime and just stay into the evening, that's fine.
That's
and if you need to come in at 4 p.m. and just stay till midnight, fine.
Like if
do
the
it.
Stuff gets done, who gives a shit? Also, if the stuff gets done, do you need to be there for 8 hours?
No.
If you're very efficient at what you do.
Man, I am a very firm believer in, like, if I can get X amount of stuff done in like 2 days and I have 5 days to do it, the other 3 days are my time.
And you'll get it one way or the other.
I will.
That's, I mean, workers will.
Yeah,
like,
do.
If they have to have butt
in
seat. No,
I don't.
Seat,
I'm very productive.
If they have to have butt in seat for 8 hours a day and they're getting paid the same amount of money.
No.
And the only reward for getting their stuff done faster is that more stuff is given to them, but they don't get any more money for doing the extra work. They'll make sure that that work takes them that full time. One way or another. Little micro distractions. Just stretching it out because... That's how it operates now. Like, if you're a good worker, you just get more work until you're burnt out and tired and frustrated because everyone else is doing like a quarter of what you're doing.
Sometimes my process is Tuesday is Twitter day.
Tuesday was note day when I was in an office. I would do my podcast notes during office time on Tuesday and just have a tab of something I was supposed to be working on open so I could flip to it on the rare occasion that my boss was A, there to begin with, and B, emerged from his office.
Can we adjust when morning is?
You mean like the sun?
Yeah.
Like when the sun comes up and goes away at night?
Yeah.
In which direction?
Do you want hours.
So you want it to happen later?
Yeah. Like what if the sun was up at 2 in the morning and was down 4 p.m.?
Okay. Wouldn't everybody start waking up at 2 a.m.?
Yeah. That's what we want.
Is it? I don't want to wake up at 2 a.m.
But what are circadian rhythms kind of mess with that too?
What I want
I already wake up at 4 and go to bed at 2.
I want everybody.
I just want the sun to be there to greet me. Shoot a bunch of rockets at it until we adjust it.
You just miss saying hello to the sun. Miss that vitamin D.
I will say that I just woke up before recording this. I did take a nap after getting home from work. And I did just suggest moving the sun as if that's the thing that orbits. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, can't we just like
as if moving that would do anything?
Can't we just manipulate time so that the sun rises for each person whenever they happen to wake up? Like if I wake up at 11 a.m., that's when the sun rises for me.
You have a personal sun? I think we can do that once we're all plugged into the Matrix.
I need to just...
And can we replace everybody's eyes with cybernetics so that it appears that the sun is up and down when they need it to be?
And also,
please.
Everybody looks like your ideal hotness. So that you can only judge on personality and you don't save a lot of heartache.
You can fix
a lot of stuff with cybernetic eyes.
Sure, please. The world is Brendan Fraser.
Is that your ideal of hotness, Tyler?
It's not.
That's just
everybody.
My baseline.
Okay.
That's just like a neutral standard person is Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
That is true. That's true for everybody, actually. Can we please just get to like the cyberpunk dystopia that I crave? And that is coming. Like we're headed that way. Let's just get there.
I mean, Gordy, you're developing all the skills you need for a big power grab.
Am I?
I think so.
What?
Politics and got a lot of big ideas. I don't know. If any one of us could make it to a position of influential power to bring about a cyberpunk dystopia, it's you.
I mean, I don't have to do anything to bring it about other than just wait. I'm saying let's just go ahead and do it. Like, if we're going to do it, let's just do it.
Right, but you could, like, do the policies and things to accelerate us toward that future as opposed to the Mad Max wasteland that we're currently headed toward.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like what we're doing is like, the cyberpunk dystopia, but it's just ads. Like, it's just ads everywhere.
So it's like a boring, poorly written one.
And I don't know if that's the one that I want, because I want, like, post-humans, and I want like the cybernetic implants that do stuff.
Like in general, we need to start valuing our writers more, because that's one thing that I've noticed in a lot of media lately is that the writing is second tier to the visual effects, and newsflash, visual effects only hold a film or TV show for about 30 seconds. If the writing's poor, I mean, you can't put gild on a turd. So we need to start by really forging up our writing and our media so that we then write a better actual future for ourselves.
I think that media should do a better job of conveying who is and is not a morning person.
And dumping all the morning people into a river.
Just sort of stamped on the face, maybe.
Like in Morton Joe, does he get up at 6? What's his schedule?
I think he does.
He seems like a quintessential morning person. Yeah, morning people, if you think you're hot shit, Morton Joe's a morning person, so, like, reflect like, on that for a moment.
There's nothing better about being a morning person. Like, as you say, our society is just calibrated for you. You're not better, you're right. Just lucky.
And the rest of us aren't lazy for being tired in the morning. We were up later than you. We generally sleep fewer hours than you.
I mean, I am tired all the time.
I'm incredibly productive at midnight.
Yes, me too. You're asleep. You don't see it.
I mean, think about students. Like, it's worse if you're in grade school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get on the bus at 6:50 in the morning like I used to.
Like, it limits my opportunities as a teacher. Like, I could never get a full-time teaching job because I can't function at 5:30 in the morning when I'd need to be up every day. I would just be a hot mess before I even got to winter break.
There was a time on my street when a manhole cover was uncovered for an extended period. Like, they were doing construction or something, and it was right near the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in the morning, all I wanted to do was just go down there because it wasn't school.
Into like, the manhole?
Yeah, like, I should just go down here today. I should just go live down there. It's not school. I could go back to sleep. It's very dark.
I feel like yeah. If there was a manhole cover uncovered in our parking lot, there were many days heading to work that I probably would have just like slipped down in there. I was like, I'm a Ninja Turtle now. Everyone can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I'll even admit, I like the idea of like waking up early and,
yeah, it sounds and
like,
nice.
And like making breakfast and like, like reading or something
yeah, no,
in the morning.
Yeah, it sounds glorious.
It sounds great. I'd love it if I could do that at like 10, 11 a.m. and then go do stuff instead.
I mean, that's what I do now because I have chosen starvation instead of following the morning person's schedule. So, yeah, I, like, get up. I can do stretches now, which is really good because turns out years of sitting at a computer after having rushed out the door at the last possible minute to get to work only 5 minutes late is really bad for your muscles. So now I can, like, be healthier in the way that you morning people have always enjoyed because at, like, 5:30, 6 a.m., you're like, I'm a morning lark, let's go.
There are times when I have plans to get up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel really tired tonight. I'll go to bed early and I'll set my alarm for way earlier because then I can get up and just get stuff done.
Nah.
And my alarm goes off then and I'm like, you know what? I have 6 more hours to sleep instead. How yeah. about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, like, it is
like
always
gift.
That.
Yes.
It's like never I've given up because I know like I'm not going to wake up at 7 a.m. and do the thing. I wake up at 7 a.m. like, nah, that's another hour.
Yeah,
that's like I've given myself the gift of realizing that I can go back to sleep, which is a wonderful thing.
At night, it sounds really
thank you, Gordy, for this gift.
You ever set an alarm at like 5 a.m. just so you can
yeah.
look at it and be like, I don't have to get up. I'm going back to sleep.
This is exactly what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's how I operate. So I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but like my particular brand of cognitive dysfunction means that I have to trick myself all the time to even maintain the slightest veneer of being a functional adult. And one of those things is having multiple time zones that I'm moving throughout, so I'm never quite sure what time it is. So like I set my clock 20 plus minutes late. Like I hit it to the right time, hit a few minutes past that, then I close my eyes and just kind of pound on it for an arbitrary amount of time so I can't like math it if I'm having a particularly cognizant morning. And those are rare. I mean, I did wake up thinking I was a tree once, so yeah, I'm not my best when I first get up. But
sounds like a good day to me.
Every now and then I have enough function to math it out if I know the time. So
being
yeah.
a tree.
Yeah.
I just have to keep all of my clocks different. But then when I get to my phone on its charger and I realize I have plenty of time to get ready, that is a gift. And then sometimes I squander that gift by sitting in my bed staring at nothing for no reason. And then I hate myself because I could have gotten breakfast.
That is not squandered. That is its own gift.
Staring at nothing?
Yes. For an extended period of time.
I mean, people recommend sitting and staring at nothing while you do nothing, like
yeah.
as a healthy exercise.
I am one of those people. I would recommend that.
Do you guys fall into that in the morning though? Like
what? Staring at nothing?
Yeah, like you,
no.
you start getting ready and then you're just like, you know what? I'm gonna sit
no.
down for a moment.
Nope.
No.
Once I'm up, I do the same thing. It's like I wake up and then I push a button on the wall that just says, like, start get ready routine. And then it just runs, and then I leave.
See, I get distracted between most steps of the get ready routine. So that's why I have to trick myself with time zones.
Just don't get up.
I mean,
it's a better solution. What if I can't do it from bed, is it worth doing?
I woke up on Monday to go to class and then work and then a second class.
Don't.
And all I could think about the whole morning time and most of the rest of the day was getting back into that bed.
Don't. I don't have to do anything. I'm set. I keep buying up property in the middle of the country. And then when the coast flood and everybody moves in, I'm going to be the slumlord.
It's not a bed.
Atop a tower of beds.
Then it's going to be me.
There's the Gordy power grab. Told you were setting this up. Patented Gordy power grab.
I'm gonna own Oklahoma City.
Casper mattresses will be currency.
Can't remember if it's Oklahoma City or Kansas City that I want to go to, but one of them has a comparative osteology museum, and it's on my bucket list. I'm confused.
That sounds like a great Russian roulette vacation.
Don't look it up. Just go with your gut.
These two places sound similar. I know I want to see one of them.
It's a city named after a state.
And I'm not going to know if it's the one until I get there.
You get there and then you ask the people, where are the bones?
What's cool to see here? Nothing? Fuck, I picked wrong.
Did they name it those things because they just didn't think there'd be any other cities? Like in the state of Oklahoma, okay, we built a city. What is it? Oklahoma City, the one.
Kansas City isn't even in Kansas.
There is one that's in Kansas.
Kansas City is in Missouri.
And also in Kansas.
Really?
Yeah, there's two. There's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri. And so just,
wait
till
you hear how many Columbuses there are.
I'm aware
of
that.
Yeah, it's fucking whack.
Dear America, get your shit together, though. You stole names from everybody, but you couldn't even steal enough names to cover your S.
Also, it's super easy to name things.
You can just make up sounds.
Columbus, Ohio, you're Tibbs Town now. There you go.
I mean, just name it after anything that you like. It's fine. What are we going to call this city? Columbus again? Ugh. No. How about Star Trek Town? I like that. That's the name.
Bell Pepper, Kentucky.
Sure. Why not? I mean, it distinguishes it. It's just a string of letters. That's all you need.
Wonksylvania.
Wonksylvania.
Just hire a sci-fi writer. They have so many names. Just make them name all your cities and you're covered. A lot of them will have apostrophes. Use more punctuation in your city names. That's a good way to keep it. Make them like a password.
Make it a whole sentence. Hello and welcome to, hello and welcome to.
There's a whole set of streets heading up to Dahlonega that I really like. Jot them down and set them down. Why is that not more conventional?
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.